You get it?
On the cross he said, it is finished. What's he talking about? The beating necessary to pay the price. When he rises from the dead, it's not complete yet. Now it's a big deal. He just stomped death, hell, and the grave. He's got keys of authority. I believe his eyes were filled with fire and life. I don't believe he said to his boys in Matthew, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Little bird on his shoulder. All authority. He just crushed death, man. Hell and the grave. And he knows that any man that puts faith in him will never die. That the effect of sin was crushed forever through his sacrifice. And the salvation of the Lord has come. And I believe he came up from the dead and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. I believe there was so much power coming out of this. Ah! And then you know what he said? Now go in my name. What's he doing? He's just knighting you. He's just dubbing you. Go in my name. Because you're my people. You're my church. As I am, so shall you go. Go in my name. And you just bow before him. Think. Yay! And what have we become? Religious. God doesn't heal today. That was for the apostles. You shouldn't shout in church. Sure shouldn't dance. Make sure you wear a suit. And we've gotten crazy. And change no one in that craziness. Yeah. Yeah. I'm being real with the camera or tape running. We've gotten crazy with that stuff. Why? Because the devil knows he can't defeat God. But he's convinced he can defeat us. Let's just get us misguided, miscued. Let's just get us make it all about ourselves. Fight over things. Get in debates, dig rivers and streams that God never dug, build camps that God never built. Let's segregate ourselves and separate ourselves instead of unity of faith and unity of love. And all of a sudden, we're the only ones, and they're all lost. Well, they don't understand. Well, we move in the Spirit. Well, they're dry bones. And all of a sudden, by the year 2014, it's just an Easter story. And Jesus crucified and raised from the dead. Don't think the devil doesn't know this stuff. When Jesus raises from the dead, he's frantic because he's been played like a pawn by the wisdom of God. And all the scriptures come before him and he goes, duh, I cannot defeat this God. He's too much. I got a vision one day in prayer. I was interceding and praying for the city, praying for my hometown, praying for a lot of things. And I got this picture of hell in an uproar. Jesus had just raised from the dead. I saw like David's army wanting to stone him when Ziklag was raided and burned and the women and children were captured. And I saw them surrounding the devil like they were going to stone him and kill him. And they're like, we were fools to follow you. We were fools to follow you. And they were like freaking out on him. And he looked worried. And we just opened the door for the salvation of all men. They can defeat us now. They can destroy us now. His spirit will live in them. We killed an innocent man. We shed innocent blood. Now his blood will speak on their behalf and the guilty will go free. We can't stop them now. That's what I was hearing them say. And Satan looked worried. Did you ever see the Grinch that stole Christmas? Did you ever see him looking down at Whoville and just can't stand another Christmas coming and what do I do? And he's perplexed and all of a sudden he goes, and he gets this shrewd look and he gets this, You ever see that?
Grinch that stole Christmas. Some of you are going to look it up now.
I saw that on the devil. I saw him head and shoulders above all these little imps and all these deformed little creatures. Because they're fallen. They're lost forever. And he smiled and got this wicked look and he said, stop it! Silence! And they all got quiet. I saw this all in a vision in my bedroom. And he said, gather in. You must understand. And he said, listen, we made a big mistake killing the Son of God. In death, we've always won. But this time in death, we've made a big mistake. You're right, and I understand. But listen to me and gather close. We cannot defeat God. But you know we can defeat them. Remember Adam? Ha ha. Remember Eve? They have always loved themselves. They have always been about themselves since that day. People don't love God. They need God. And here's what we do. We take this gospel, we contort it, and then we manipulate it. We make it about legalism, law. We create arguments. We get into fight among themselves. We make it all about them, all about their provision, all about their blessing. We cause their hearts to be discouraged, mad at God. We'll slither around like snakes in the grass. They'll never know. We'll turn the tables. We'll accuse them to God and God to them. We can do it, guys. We can't stop God, but we have always defeated them. Are you with me? Yeah! Now go to the four corners of the earth and set up our kingdom and make sure that in the year 2014, this is just an Easter story. Break! And I saw them all go phew, through corridors and hallways and disappear. I came out of that vision and I was crying. And I interceded and I realized everything I saw in the vision is what the church has become. At large. If you put it all together. Nobody's handled it totally right. We say, well, we're spirit-filled. We're charismatic. Yeah, and we've had pride and judged and failed to walk in love. Well, they don't understand power. We got power. You better have love. Because you can have knowledge of all mysteries and you're not a spiritual icon because of that. You can have faith to move all mountains. You're not a spiritual hero. If you don't have love, you miss the point. Yeah. Trouble is, faith to move all mountains and knowledge of all mysteries is the keynote speaker at every world conference and the closest thing to Jesus we've ever seen. So we all want impartation from that individual. And the Bible says if they're not loved, they've missed the point. Don't you make the devil right on your behalf. And don't you become part of that vision. You become one that's sanctified and set apart and loves not your own life unto death. Refuse to get into offense and arguments and bitterness and unforgiveness. Refuse to live what you were taught by the fall of man. Live what you were taught by Jesus' life and the person of Holy Spirit. You following me? To the intent that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to the powers and principalities through God's people. According to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through Him, through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Why? It's a life surrendered and selfless. It's not about what I'm going through. It's about what we've become. And then he goes on and says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom a whole family in heaven and earth is named. He talks about granting us strength and that we understand love. So he says, in order to fulfill this, I haven't stopped praying with my knees bowed that we understand love. At the end of understanding love and tells you that love passes knowledge and makes you full with all its fullness, he says, now to him who's exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. He constantly keeps the relationship in front of us and the co-union and communion of God in us. You understand? It's a big deal. We got to make sure, guys, that we don't relate to what we were trained by. That we don't relate to the feelings we were schooled by. That we call those things dead and get alone in a place of prayer and believe there's a salvation of the soul and a redemption of the emotions and the will and the mind and the heart. That we can actually live in the wisdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
You say, yeah, but if people do me wrong, I mean, it hurts. That's what you were taught, but that's not true. If that's true, Jesus is a wreck and God is forsaken and abandoned and He needs counsel. He gets a prophet in the Old Testament to marry what they called a harlot in those days and a prostitute, and he marries her and they got kids and she ends up back in her harlotry and he says, what should I do, Lord? He says, go get her and bring her back. And what he's doing in the long run, if you read it, is he's prophesying to Israel that you can't, I'll never stop loving you. Your life doesn't change my mind. I know who you are. My point about John 20 was this. Rabboni, Jesus. Don't cling to me, Mary. I haven't ascended yet to the Father, but go tell my weak-willed, low-life, double-faced, say one thing, do another, disciples. Go tell my brethren. Come on. What's he saying? It's family term, that's covenant. What's he saying? He raised from the dead. Go tell my brethren. They didn't do anything right. The only reason they're gathered is fear of the Jews because they're afraid they'll die next. Read your Bible. And guess who they are to him? His brethren. What's he saying? I haven't changed my mind about you. Hallelujah. I know who you are. He's saying that same thing to us. You see, yeah, but you don't know how I've missed it. He does. And he calls you brethren, and he's not ashamed to call you brethren. Firstborn among many brethren. He raises from the dead and says, go tell my brethren.
I'm going to my Father and your Father. My God and your God.
What's he saying? Your failure has changed nothing. I'll swallow it up. And I'll make you see. He calls them together. They've done nothing right. He doesn't say, you guys need a spiritual boot camp. You need a 9-month discipleship program. There's a real good spiritual program over here in Galilee. We can get you in for the next 9 months. These guys did nothing right. He gets them alone, meets with them, and says, now listen, here I am. And as the Father sent me, I'm sending you.
Yeah, but Lord, we've got issues.
No, you've got me. Now go win the world with my love. Go. They've done nothing right. They've been invested into. He's raised from the dead and His Spirit's with them. He says, as the Father sent me, so I send you. We always think it's power. How'd the Father send Him? For God so that He sent His Son. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you in my love. And if you forgive sins, men will know the way to my forgiveness. If you let your heart get hard, how will they know? You represent me. Now go walk in love. That's what he's saying in John. He breathes on him and says, receive Holy Spirit. Why? Because God made man in the beginning through breathing into dust. And when man ate the tree, that died. So Jesus paid for it to live again. So instead of saying, be filled with Holy Spirit, he just breathed on him and took us back to day one. As if sin never happened because his blood is speaking better things.
So he goes and puts his blood on the mercy seat, shoots back in the evening, the same day, says, peace to you. I just made it with the Father through my blood. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Receive Holy Spirit. Day one, man becomes a living being, born again, as if sin never happened. Now, if you forgive the sins of any, they'll be forgiven. If you retain their sins, how will they know the way to be forgiven? Don't let your hearts get hard. Let the thing that saved you, my love, go out and save them. Go get them, boys. You're ready. You ought to read your Bible and see it's right there.
In Mark 16, he comes in and he says, he said he upbraids them and he rebukes them for their unbelief. He says, why are your hearts troubled? Why do you... And he talks to them. And in the same breath, he says, now go into every nation and make disciples of every nation. And these signs will follow those that believe.
And it says they went. And the Holy Spirit went with them.
Come on, guys. Jesus is bigger than what we feel like we lack. In a simple faith and trust and just yielding and surrendering says we qualify. I'm not preaching some cheap gospel. I'm preaching what I read in this book. I'm not saying your weakness doesn't matter and don't get a conviction of it, man. Come on, if you know there's something in your life that's not the heart of God, get alone and deal with it. He says, who is wise and understanding? Who's wise and understanding amongst you? James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him prove by the conduct of his life that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have envy and self-seeking in your heart, don't boast and lie against the truth. What's he saying? Man, get real and deal with your heart. Don't appear to be something you're not. If you have selfishness in your life, deal with it. Call it dead. Get alone with God. Surrender it. But don't boast and lie against the truth. Because this wisdom, selfishness and envy, jealousy, comparison, my ministry, whatever, it doesn't come from above. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. And where envy and self-seeking are evil, every confusion and every evil thing's present. Do you understand that we... I see my buddy, we were talking about warfare yesterday. And do you understand that you can intercede and do all this warfare and come against darkness and da-da-da and then walk out of the room you were praying in and actually move in the attributes of darkness if you don't understand the nature of God and just walk in unforgiveness. Just yell at a person for cutting you off in the car and think you're right because it's what you were trained by. So here you are praying against darkness, living in the attributes of it. In your light we see light. Walk in the light as He's in the light. People get alone in a room and intercede and they come against powers and principalities and they're breaking and binding and calling it warfare and intercession and then they're offended at their sister or their brother and moving in the very thing they say they're binding to only find that they're bound and going through religious practice that's availing nothing and there's laughter and mockery in the realm of the Spirit because we don't understand the power of holiness and purity. I know I just touched something there. I can feel it in the room. God hasn't called you to do all that. He's called you to become like Him and become love. Love is the greatest form of intercession on the planet. You search out the Kingdom Living School on YouTube. I don't have time to do it tonight. I know I opened a little can there, but if you want answers, there's a whole session on healthy and unhealthy intercession towards the end of the school, somewhere around week 10, 11, 12, or 11, 12, 13. Healthy/unhealthy intercession, a whole 3-hour session. I think you'll find it interesting. Okay? I'm telling you, it's not cool to get in a room with a bunch of people and act like you're fighting the devil and then manifest him in your attitudes and emotions. You're called to put off anger, put to death fornication, passion, evil desire. Why? Because you weren't created this way, you were trained this way. People say, well, evil desire, I mean, what's wrong? You know, we talk about sex and intimacy and stuff. Come on, man. There is nothing on the earth exploited more than sexuality. You don't counterfeit $1 bills. It's so exploited because there's something so valuable at its origin. So why don't you seek it out? When He says put off fornication, evil desire, and passion, here's what He's saying. Put off your sex drive as you know it because God didn't make you that way. You were born into Adam. Get born again. People teach God gave us our sex drive. Not as you know it. It's perverted. You study a fallen man and think it's you. It's Adam. You're in Christ.
Hello?
So the first thing on the list is fornication. He's talking about your sexual passions. Your need to come together with flesh. He calls it evil desire and passions. Fornication. He's talking about sexuality. He doesn't say manage it. He says kill it. Why? Because it's a lie as you know it. And there's a beautiful holy root there waiting for you to step into. And I ain't talking orgasms and feelings. I'm talking holiness and purity and amazing presence of God.
So why don't you search out what's there? Because you don't counterfeit $1 bills.
And there isn't one area in our lives that we know of that's been exploited more. Not even remotely close. So there must be an amazing holy root waiting.
Why don't you search it out?
Yeah. He didn't say manage anger. He says put it off. Why? Because anger is a charismatic worship service to the wrong one. You're just bringing honor to the wrong nature. You were made for His image. And when you're living in anger, You're just worshiping and manifesting another nature. I was in my bedroom one day. I was in my bedroom about 19 years ago right after I got saved. And he said, "Dad, I'm reading this." And I'm like, "This is amazing. Put off anger." I was not made to ever be angry. And people say, "Well, be angry and don't sin." You know, well, what's that mean? What it means is you can have passions and emotions about things, but never at the cost of the identity and destiny of a person. Your war is not flesh and blood. Never let it involve people. I'm extremely passionate. I'm like a roaring, raging thing sometimes. You ought to see me in leadership meetings behind the scenes. You should see me in the past on certain board meetings and stuff. I'm passionate about the kingdom of God, but never at the cost of individuals. Are you hearing me? So be angry and don't sin. You're angry about certain things in a righteous sense, but it's not an excuse to cut off people and judge people. It's never directed to humans. You're not even to let the sun go down on that stuff and give place, it says, to the devil. Come on! And we were trained by it to believe it's normal. And it wasn't who God made you to be. It's what we became through the fall. But you got born again, remember? And you're not in Adam, you're in Jesus. So as He is, so are you in this world. Woohoo! See that? That preaches right there. So let's put off these things. Anger. It's not anger management. You put it off. You get alone in a room and say, "God, the only reason I was angry is because I took things personal and self-centered and I needed to have my way and people didn't agree. It bothered me. If people had offended me, God, I was born into self-centeredness. I was born into a loss of identity. I sought myself along the way and didn't come out clean. God, I renounce it all and I put it to death. I have no need to be right. I have this desperate cry and need to be like You. Thanks for Your love lavishing me, Your nature overtaking me. I agree with love. I release the permission to have rights. I deny myself to obtain one right, to be like You. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for working in me and revealing who You are through me." That's prayer. That's communion with Him. That's how you put off and put on. Put off and put on. It's not bite your lip to live better. You'll be sure you're failing. Get alone. Put off in prayer. You're saved by grace. Listen carefully. I'm teaching right now. You're saved by grace through faith. When you release faith in the truth of the possibilities of God in your life, faith, grace comes to meet your faith and make that faith your reality without you biting your lip. And all you have to do is be sincere and want to, because the pure in heart shall see Him. You have to sincerely want to become love. You say, "Well, why wouldn't anybody?" There's a lot of people that don't want to become love. They hold on to the rights they inherited through Adam. And they got chips on their shoulder and they're waiting for people to cross the line. And they analytically, when a guy's like me preaching, say, "Well, you're telling me I'm supposed to, and if somebody this, I'm not going to get, well, I ain't no pushover, and you ain't going to make me no doormat."
Come on.
Come on.
That "come on" was for you. Who taught us to talk like that? Who taught us to think like that? Just life in general, growing up. Come on, you didn't have to teach a little 1.5-year-old to go, "No." Almost 2. "Mine." As sweet as they are, "I love them. But they're going to need born again." And mamas see them acting out and they think they're failing as mamas. They come to their pastors, "I don't know what I'm doing wrong. My little girl made a mean face at me. Does she have an evil spirit?"
I've had it pastoring. Because the mamas are so serious, probably best mamas on the planet, almost getting too intense about mama. And then the baby goes, "Nee, nee." And all the mama is sweet and tender. "No, baby. Hey, nee. No, don't talk about mama. I love you. Nee." And then they come to church and they go, "What am I doing wrong? I'm a failure as a mother. Is my baby possessed?" No, actually, you're probably the best mother in the planet. You might even be a little too intense. Probably getting condemned and judging yourself so much. Listen, honey, your little girl's going to need born again someday. She was born into Adam. So be the best example of Jesus and make her heart thirst for Him. Don't take her personal. Take Jesus personal so you can love her through it all. And one day when she's 6, 7, and 8, she might just be laying in that bed and say, "Mommy, why are you so different than me?" "What do you mean, baby?" "I don't know, Mama. You're just so sweet. And I see times when I know I would be mad, and you don't get mad like that, and you're just so sweet. And I look in your eyes, and it makes me want to look at you. There's something about you, Mama's different than me." "Honey, there's nothing different. You have the same destiny as me, the same purpose, and the same value. I know Jesus. He's in my heart. He's in my life. And there's a time for you to receive Him into your life and be born again. And remember how growing up sometimes you would argue with us, or me and Daddy, and you'd say no, and you'd want your own way? Jesus said if anyone comes to Him to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow Him, Jesus is so loving and kind. What you see in Mommy is who Jesus is, honey. And it's getting your attention, and you're realizing you don't know Him that way. But you can. You can right now. You can so honor what you see in Mommy that in that you're honoring Him. And He's going to come on you, girl. And He's going to make you just like you see in me. You want to know Him this way? I do, Mama." And all of a sudden, rather than taking it personal, feeling like you're failing, getting condemned, bad Mama. Nope. You're Jesus, Mama. And you just shine so bright that your own little girl said, "I want what I see in you, Mama." Wouldn't that be a joy?
And you take her little hand and you say,
"Come on." And Jesus goes, "Whoa."
You take your little girl to the bathtub till the bubbles stop. No, I'm
Come on, isn't that beautiful? Called the shine. The reason God gives you the gift of children is so you can make His image known, not so you can find identity through them and live their life for them and set you up for them to fail you when they make decisions at age 20. And it isn't your dream, it's their dream, and you're offended because you raised them. Stop it. Oh, that didn't go over good. Stop it.
Come on.
Is not why you have children. You have children to multiply who He is. Be fruitful and multiply in the image. Yeah. Man. I'm beating the word. Colossians 3, and I'm gonna try to close. Whoa, I am gonna try to close. I mean, I'm setting myself up for another good hour. No. Colossians 3, I already read some of it and quoted some of it, but I want you to see this. Where we put off the flesh, where we put off passion and evil desires, where we put it to death and we put it off. It says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these things," in verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. "You yourselves put off all these things, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another." Why? Because you've put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man. Listen. Some of us have only ever taught and heard the gospel as a prayer to go to heaven. I want you in heaven. I want me in heaven. I'm glad He made heaven available. The goal and carrot is not heaven. The goal and carrot is transformation of nature. Putting off the old, putting on the new. You know why water baptism has slipped out of a lot of circles and it's a biannual or annual event? Because we've lost the aspect of transformation in our preaching and we've just made it about heaven. Water baptism has everything to do with a new creation. You go to die so you can live. You die in the likeness of His death, so surely you raise in the newness of life. Surely as the Father raised Him in the glory of God, you'll raise in the newness of life. If we know that we die with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we will raise in the power of His resurrection. It talks about He who died has been free from sin. The death He died to sin once for all. So He's going to die no more. The life He lives unto God. Likewise, you reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. We've turned that into a prayer to go to heaven someday when the trumpet blows. And then life still eats our lunch. And we have many questions with God. And some people even say, I can't wait till I get to heaven. I got a thing or two to ask the Lord. No, you will probably be on your face. See, that's only the pride of the fall of man that can even think that way. I got a thing or two to ask the Lord. You're only going to be there by His mercy. Don't think you're calling the shots. Hello? That attitude, that arrogance, it's called sin. It's the fall of man. It's presumption. And it has nothing to do with reality. You try to walk in the presence of God with that attitude, you'll probably implode and blow up. You guys good? Why aren't we going to lie to one another? We've what? Put off the old man and his deeds. Who'd we put on? The new man. Who's the new man? Renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him.
Doesn't get any plainer than that.
Renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created. Who are you putting on? What Jesus looks like. What's Corinthians say? You're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. What's the goal? His image. Isn't that beautiful? I'm done with this one. I really am. I'll feel it. I'm done. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is awesome. This is a good way to close out this night, and then we're going to pray for some folks, okay? Thank you, Jesus. You're awesome. God, we love you. You guys doing good? You okay? You guys hearing? You getting what I'm saying? Don't ever let it become redundant. Let it be an everyday message in your heart. I have lived this thing and preached this thing and recited this thing over in my head and in my heart over and over and over. I preach it all the time, and it is fresh. And it is the truth.
It's going to keep me alive forever.
Come on.
All of a sudden, life has no ability to eat your lunch. He's prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Maybe we start understanding more what that means. He's given me something to respond to, something to believe in the face of it all. He hasn't driven the enemy out of the room. He just made me free in the face of it. Sit up and eat, boy.
Yeah. That's what we did at Logan's today.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 2, you there? Now, this is a lot of people's refrigerator scripture, but I want you to really hear what it says. Because a lot of times we think circumstances. We think it's always the best parking space. Man, if God gives you a little kiss on the cheek, let Him. Don't expend your life and your faith and your prayers and your effort on blessing, please. I know most preachers aren't going to tell you that. I can't speak for Chuck and Trish. But I'm telling you, don't spend your whole life on blessing. Spend your life on pursuing Him to transform you. Are you hearing me? Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now the next thing he says shows you what he's really saying, because he's not talking about never getting laid off. He's not talking about never having a car accident. He's talking about in the face of life you have a victory when you understand the why behind your life through Him. When you read the next half, it's going to show you what he's talking about. Now, to Him who always leads us He leads us in triumph. He leads us through the storm. He leads us through the adversity. He leads us through the thing that's coming against us to try to shatter the Word and the kingdom and stop what God's building. He always leads us in triumph. He said, in me you have peace. In the world you have tribulation. In me you have peace. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, Lord, if you've overcome the world, why do I have tribulation? He's not talking about never having trouble. He's talking about in the face of trouble, you see clear. And He's the answer. You follow me? Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Now listen to what He said. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Watch. And through us. What's He do? Diffuse the fragrance of His knowledge. Where? Everywhere. He's talking about the circumstances of your life. It's always puzzled me how somebody will get laid off, lose their joy, cry themselves to sleep, and get on 4 prayer chains and call 3 ministries and I'm like, what are we doing? It shows that we don't understand the gospel. So you weren't expecting to get it off. Yes, you have bills, but when do you have covenant? When do you get the hand to delay off paper and go, whoa, I didn't see this coming. God, what would I do without you? I'd probably be laid off and in trouble and feel like a lot of people in this room right now. God, I so thank you for your unfailing love for me, and I thank you that you know all our needs and you love our family and you've caused me to shine. You didn't cause me to fall apart when I get this. It's not about me. It's about you and me. I thank you. As quick as this door closed, something will open. You'll have a plan and an answer because you always lead me to triumph. I worship you, King Jesus. Man, thanks for this wisdom so I can share it with my wife and we can rejoice in your goodness together. That sure beats going home saying, honey, we need to talk. Oh my God, we got to pray. Why is it so normal to fall apart when you get surprises like that? I don't even understand why that's normal. That should be like so not normal. It should be weird to fall apart.
Come on.
Like, what are we thinking? What about covenant? You know, when I turned 40, I'm 52, but when I turned 40, I got this thing in the mail a little after. You are now over 40. I thought, man, somebody knows. And they had this whole list. You are more susceptible to this, 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 and this than any time in your life before. What?
I'm like, oh my goodness. It threw me into worship. I'm like, Lord, I so appreciate covenant. I said, now I know a lot of Christians say, well, brother, you got to use wisdom. My question is, whose?
Come on!
Because that's an overused phrase, boy. And nobody ever tells me whose. It's usually your fear talking, your rationale, your analytical mind. And I looked at that note and I said, man, what would I do without you? Thank you for covenant. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for the power to subdue and not be arrogant. Just be in my creative value. God, if I didn't know you, I could be on this list. This list could be a threat to me. Crunch, crunch, crunch. But God. Oh, shut out about Christ. Yeah, and it looked worse than that. Why? Because I got a letter in the mail that threatened, but I didn't condemn. I simply committed myself to Him who judges righteously. Why? Because you love not your own life unto death. Be honest. You listen to how we preach Jesus. He's survival. And you're called to overcome.
Hallelujah.
Be real.
Yeah.
A lot of preaching is survival. And you're more than conquerors through Him. Be real with me. Now thanks be to God who what? Always leads us in triumph through Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge. Your workplace needs to see Him and you're there for that reason. Thank God for the tool of income. Don't resent your job. Don't resent your coworkers or your boss or you're missing the point of your life there. Don't pray for a Christian job with a Christian atmosphere. Because their language defiles you. Grow up and get a little bigger than that.
Yeah. Come on.
If their language isn't defiling God, and where sin abounds, grace abounds more, and He sends His Son in the midst of it all, he must be okay and know that that can change. You can do that too. Yeah, but it just wears on me. No, get a better revelation and get a new perspective. People come to me when I was a pastor full time, and one of the biggest requests was, pray for me to get a new job. It's so hard working where I work. You don't understand the atmosphere. It just wears on me. I need to be in a Christian atmosphere. I'm like, are you kidding me? No, I'm not praying that. I hope He balls and chains you there for the rest of your life. That's what I would tell them. Till you get a revelation. Die if you must, but then you can finally live. So stay there. You're not going to pray? I'm not even going to think about it. Because you're going to stay soft, and it's going to be all about you, and you're going to get in a little cushy Christian atmosphere and be ineffective and in survival for the rest of your life. And you're going to run from everything that challenges you and live in passivity instead of the power of God.
So I'm not praying for you to get a new job that's Christian. I'm going to pray for God to keep you where it's dark.
Because you're the hope of light.
That's right.
And if you're thinking for yourself, you don't understand what I'm saying.
That's right.
But if you're thinking for the kingdom, you're going, that's right.
Come on.
I left pastoring, full-time pastoring, and gave up my salary for a season just to go back into a warehouse that was really dark.
It was so much fun.
Christians looked at me like, what are you doing? Dude, you got it made. Is that what it's about, having it made? What do they even mean? Man, I wish I was in your position. You're preaching and getting paid for it. You're just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And got benefits through your church, the church. Oh my gosh, you're giving that up to go back to a warehouse where it's sinful? Yeah, I think Jesus would do that. I think He would lay down His glory and make Himself of no reputation. I bet He would. I was struggling at the time with ministry and the thought of what it was and everything around me was Christian. It's just kind of... Like, what I mean by that is, even people that weren't right with God talked like it. People that were hurting their wives were saying, amen, brother. And after a while, it was just everything was Christian. And it was, to me, it was like, man, what are we accomplishing? What are we doing? I was in board meetings and it felt like business sometimes. I was young, I was naive, I was learning. And my answer was, get a breath of air, go regroup, go where I'm comfortable, go into the darkest place I can find. That will be fun. That's fun. So I did. And God is really fun in the darkness.
Jesus is really cool. God has a sense of humor, and He loves people.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell you the stories, but I'll tell you what, I could talk to you for 2 hours. The stories of a 6-month period. That at the end of those 6 months, they had a floor meeting to announce that I was leaving because I had been such an impact and a blessing to the company. Never had part-time in the history of the company and offered it to me to keep me on the rolls. That's honoring. That's glory to His name. Wow. Supervisors, born again. Like, one of them on the floor.
Yeah.
Oops.
Come on.
Purple, spiked-haired young man. Avoided me like the plague. Didn't like my Christian t-shirts. Was leaving with the flu one day, and I just happened to be coming up the aisle he was in. Hey, Robbie. Hey, man. Very uncomfortable around me. I said, listen, man. I heard you had the flu. You were leaving after your order, man. I don't want you to have to leave. Listen, man. I know you struggle with my t-shirts, and I know you seem to try to avoid me. No, that's all right, man. I said, no, no. I know why. In fact, I know why your hair's purple. I said, listen, dude. I am not against purple, and I'm not against your spiked hair. People do things for reasons. You don't even like purple. You just know it breaks your mother's heart because she thumped you with the Bible growing up again and again and my t-shirts remind you of that. You have a bad view of God's love. His lips shaking, he's trembling in the aisle. He says, how can you possibly know that? Because he's real and he's Lord and he loves you. His name is Jesus. Now give me your hand, we're going to pray. See, I got to tell you some of these stories so you see what's wrong with me. I don't go to church, I am the church. And so are you. Unless you let life speak louder than truth. And let people things matter more than Christ things. And let he said, she said matter more than he said. Oh, I know I'm on you a little, but it's on purpose. It's okay to squirm. Just come out of it. Whole and changed. He's freaked out. Robbie's freaked out. He said, how can you possibly know that? I said, buddy, I'm so sorry she did that. I said, I can hear things she said. She said, well, God saw that. You know God saw that. You're acting just like the devil. Why would you act like the devil? God saw that. One day you're going to be with the devil if that's what you want. And that's all she told him, thinking she was doing right. She was hurting him so bad. He was crying. I said, your mom did the only thing she knew to do. She was afraid for you. She didn't see you going in the right direction, and she didn't have her own revelation. So she gave you all she knew, friend. She didn't try to hurt you. And for you to harden your heart to your mom and make your hair purple because it breaks her heart, come on, how is that? Everybody's losing. This isn't even you. You don't even like purple. He's like, I'm so freaked out. You know that. I said, Jesus knows everything and he loves you. I took his hand and every flu symptom came out of him. I said, now do you think God's mad at you? We had a long talk in the lunchroom and Robbie got his heart right with God.
Yeah. Oh. Just fun stuff.
It's who Jesus is. I'll close. Verse 15. For we are to God. Look who we are to God. You're the go-to person. You're the roster of heaven. You're the best he's got. You are to God the fragrance of Christ. You're not in line to go to heaven. You're the fragrance of Christ. Heaven came into you. You're not waiting to go there. One day he'll receive us up altogether. But it's because we're already of him and with him. You did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. Heaven came into you. And all things became new. What things? He doesn't just change the broken stuff. He changes everything. If you'll submit and surrender. If you'll deny yourself, you will pick up your cross. And if you pick up your cross, you will have followed him. If you don't deny yourself, you'll never pick up your cross. What's pick up my cross? Taxi through every issue of life, every unfairness, every injustice, every adversity, and never let it change you. Because you're already changed. You following me? We can live this thing, guys. I wouldn't preach it so passionately if it wasn't possible. I wouldn't get led in all the directions I'm being led if grace wasn't there to meet us. You start releasing faith, and grace will make what you believe is possible your reality in the secret place of your fellowship with God. I said it this morning passionately. A lot of you weren't here. You have a right to him. Don't let anything keep you from him. Take the veil off and be his bride. He loves you. While you were yet a sinner, he sent the Son. Surely you can approach him now.
Jay?
We're going to pray for the sick. There's a reason. Because of the remission of sins. Man isn't guilty anymore through the blood when he repents for what man has done. He takes on what Jesus has done. And it's redemption and restoration. He raised in Luke and he said, why are you guys, man, didn't you know all these things had to happen to me? That I needed to suffer this way? He says it in Luke 24. He said, so that repentance and the forgiveness of sin, or the remission of sin, removal, remission is a better word, the remission of sin would be preached to every nation. Repentance doesn't mean boo-hoo, I'm sorry. It means I'm sure thinking different now. The remission of sin means it is no more. We haven't done a great job of preaching repentance and remission of sin. We've made repentance the consciousness of sin and boo-hoo, I'm sorry. And we've made the remission of sin, God forgives you weekly because we always do it. Yeah. Can I have... I'm going to do something a little different. Can I have the worship team? You guys, can you come up? I don't know what you would have prepared, but I want to sing something just about the blood, the cross. You guys will do good. I want to do something. I want to pray for the sick. In a minute, we're going to pray for the sick. I feel like in my heart that I want to give opportunity, just personal way to respond to what I'm preaching the last 2 days. And I want you guys to begin to receive His love. Begin to put off and put on wherever you've been convicted in the last 2 days. And just give you an opportunity to respond personally to Jesus so you don't just leave with the knowledge of what I said, but you have this window of grace to begin to step into it where it marks you today, where it already becomes yours. All right? This lady, I don't know you. Did I ever meet you guys? I've been wanting to pray for you all night. I don't usually do this. I don't usually like just... because I'm a real church. We're the church. But I've been wanting to pray for you all night. So I'm going to take your hand and just pray. You need healing in your body. Yeah. I've never met you? No? Okay. Stretch your hands to her. You've really attracted the heart of God in me tonight. And I just believe God's for you and His mercy is towards you. And I know you've been through things and I know you've seemed to pay a price in some things. But He paid an amazing price for the redemption of your nature, your motives, your will, and your body. So I bless you. I bless you. And I speak life over you. And I say be healed and be made whole in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. You take away every symptom. You bring strength where there was weakness. You bring agility and mobility where there was lack. You wash through her and make her whole. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for bringing dramatic change to all her flesh. Guys, thanks for praying for her. Just God's doing a good thing. Let's worship Him. Just give your hearts to Him. Let this be a person. Don't be distracted now. Please, if there's one thing you do right now, don't be distracted. Take time and respond to Him at whatever level.